Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast. This episode of Script to Screen is powered by Speedy Comics.
You can follow them on Instagram on Speedy Comics ME and on their website, speedycomicsme.com.
Hi guys, I'm Rudy Jung.
Hello, my name is Joseph David Jones.
Hey, this is Kevin Sussman.
Hey, this is Mina Masood.
I'm John Reese Davis, and you're listening to Script to Screen.
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 Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen. You are listening to us on the podcast. We know it's been a while since we've released an episode, but as you all know, both the solo To My Chewbacca and I live in Lebanon, and on August 4th, we faced a massive tragedy that kind of shook the nation. And as we stated on our Instagram account, we were going to stand in solidarity with all of our brothers and sisters in Lebanon, in Beirut, who were very badly affected, due to the August 4th explosion that happened in at the Beirut port. It's been a very difficult time in the country. It's been a very challenging time in the country, whether it be from a moral standpoint, from a emotional standpoint, mental standpoint, physical standpoint. But we know that you screeners look forward to listening to our show. And Had and I felt that we wanted to come back. We wanted to talk about what we love to talk about, to lift our spirits as well as your spirits. On top of it, Warner Brothers kind of pushed us in that direction because of the DC fandom, which is going to be the topic that we are going to be discussing on today's episode. So, without much further ado, join me in welcoming my brother, the solo to my Chewbacca, the one and only Had Solo.
Hello, Alan. Hello, good morning, screeners, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are, whenever you're listening to us. I just want to follow up on what you said, Alan. It's been a tough few weeks for us, and we do apologize for not recording that many new episodes, if you want. But as Alan said, it's been a tough time for everyone with people that have passed away, people that have lost their homes. It's been a very tough time for Lebanon. And what's helping us get through this time is the solidarity among people, people being there for each other. And we thought that in addition, we could do maybe our part and talk about, as Alan said, about what we love. And maybe, distract you guys for 30-something minutes and, you know, exchange ideas in a positive and non-toxic way, because I don't think we can deal with toxicity at this point, because we're all, you know, on some level psychologically affected, even people who aren't in Lebanon. And so why not do it through the talk of movies, of series, of the industry? And, you know, I just want to reach out on, you know, behalf of Alan and myself to all the people who are abroad, who checked up on us, who made sure we were okay. Really, that means the world to us. And in the words of Freddie Mercury, as cliche as it is, the show must go on. So here goes to a fun episode. We're going to try to be as fun as possible. And discuss what's been happening, because a lot has been happening, and it's actually quite interesting.
So, 100%. I want to also take this time to, you know, because you said you wanted to, you know, throw a shout out to all those who checked up on us who are abroad. We want to send out a massive thank you to Speedy Comics, who stood by our side. They are the sponsors of this podcast, and they stood by us. They were very understanding that we were going to take a little bit of a, you know, hiatus to stand in solidarity with everybody in Lebanon. But we are back, and we can't wait to, you know, as you said, as Had said, to talk about movies, to celebrate movies and television series in the way that Script to Screen always has. Because for us, movies are hope, TV shows are hope, they're our escape, and they're our way of dealing with tragic, you know, and the chaos of life. So, without much further ado, let's jump on board here with the DC fandom, the first of its kind. A massive, massive win for everybody who is stuck at home. A Comic-Con-like event that was free for everybody to watch, which is insane. It's absolutely insane that Warner Brothers and DC Comics would do this. I think, if anything, they garnered a lot more fans for doing this, and then shared some fantastic teaser trailers and some fantastic news that we've been very much waiting for the longest time.
It's a very ballsy move, as you said. In terms of what they did, I think it's ballsy, I think it's courageous, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And maybe it helped people stay home, because, you know, we have to be careful in times of COVID.
Yes,
and
yes.
So many cool things happened during these couple of days, these few days.
Yes, yes.
I was hooked on watching trailer and teaser. I didn't watch a lot of the panels or anything, but I was able to catch all the trailers. And I think it's about time that I personally said, I don't know your opinion on that, is that DC is getting, you know, their shit on track.
Yes.
They are starting to make sense. Their vision is starting to work.
Yes.
What was once what we discussed on the show as something chaotic and they were lost and didn't know what to do is no more.
Yeah, you know, that was exactly what I felt looking at the fandom, whether it be the teasers or the trailers or the panels. I saw a few of the panels. It finally feels like DC's like, we have a vision and this is the vision, you know, which is exciting to see, because as you and I both know, I'm much more of a DC fan when it came to the comic books or the, you know, the animated shows or whatever. I've always been much more of a DC fan. Superman is one of my favorite superheroes. I love the Green Arrow. I love Batman, the Flash even. So there was a lot of that hypeness of, you know, having a DCEU came back all of a sudden. But also having something like this where it really looked like, and I mean, it's in the name, right? Fandom. It was made for the fans, to almost say thank you to the fans. I mean, that was the entirety of Zack Snyder's panel. It was him basically saying, thank you for allowing me to do what I love to do. So, I mean, it's super exciting. It's super exciting to see something like this.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I mean, the rivalry between, if you want, Marvel and DC has been quite interesting in the past few years. Growing up, personally, as a young kid, I was much more prone to the DC universe, Superman, Batman, Flash, and so on. But growing up and watching movies, Marvel did a fantastic job and kind of, you know, got everyone's attention and did things right. But I do think DC is taking advantage of the situation in the smartest of ways to, you know, they know people love DC. They know people love Superman. They know people love Batman. They know that. They're aware that they have very, very, very strong characters, even potentially stronger than Marvel characters. And I'm not talking on the superhero level. I'm talking on, if you want, a marketing, a business level.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
capitalizing on that in the smartest way possible. Marvel has somewhat been dormant for a while. All we know that they're doing is there's Black Widow and there's the Eternals, which are on hiatus waiting to see when they come out. But they haven't been really talking much about what they're doing. I mean, the biggest piece of news I've recently heard was the ending of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
Not much going on with Marvel. Whereas,
I mean, there are a lot of memes now. There are like a lot of memes now where they're mocking the whole concept of, you know, the MCU being very silent right now. It's just like, it's like, you know, you're getting all this like fireworks from the DC side, and people who are like massive Marvel fans and not necessarily DC fans are just sitting there waiting in the shadows for at least a glimmer of hope when it comes to what the heck the MCU is doing.
Exactly. And DC is, you know, spoon feeding us very slowly these little things, these news, if you want, casting news and movie news and updates and whatnot. And as kudos to them, you know, chapeau to them, as you say in French.
Exactly. So really quick, what do you think something like this is going to mean for the future when it comes to things like Comic-Con, when it comes to things like, Star Wars Celebration, when it comes to things like Disney's, what is it, like D20, whatever, it's like D23 or D24, whatever, depending on the year. Do you think we're going to see more and more of these conventions becoming more and more accessible to people after the success of the fandom? Or do you think that this is going to be a very much a DC thing?
No, no, I think people are going to pick up as long as COVID exists, because I don't think you can fully replace the actual experience of a convention. But I do think there will be a serious merging of once life goes back to normal, let that be in a year or two, whenever, there will be a mix of heavy online, you know, panels and so on with the actual convention itself. Because I do think being there and celebrating that event and ourselves celebrating Comic-Con in Dubai within itself was an experience. But I can imagine that plus the online presence and aggressivity that that DC, you know, took charge of would be just, you know, an ideal combination.
Yeah, I agree. We have to say another massive shout out to Speedy Comics, because they were featured in the event. They had a small segment in the event as one of, you know, Dubai's, you know, what do you call it? Like hidden comic book geeky gems, right? So we have to say high five for them for reaching that level. It's super great to be a part of the Speedy Comics family, that's for sure. Especially now that they've been featured in the DC fandom. I mean, that's kind of huge, right?
Look, listen, even the guys at Speedy Comics are doing things right. I mean, if you go check out their Instagram page or any of their online accounts, you see that these people are also very smart and doing things right with interesting competitions for people, with content, which is very interesting. And the variety of items they have from Funkos to comic books and so on is just fantastic.
To signed stuff, right?
There's they have signed stuff. Signed, I mean, they have a bunch. I mean, I'll never forget Rashid going to one of the team members, bringing one of those Bales. And what he meant was he has a bunch of Funkos signed by Christian Bale.
It's nuts. Yeah, yeah.
And that's like, nuts. And he has stuff signed by Robert Downey Jr. Like, it's fantastic. It's really, for someone who loves this culture, for someone who loves these things, you're going
to
have
the place to be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the place to be.
Definitely. If you're in Dubai, you have to check it out.
All right. So let's dive right in here. We've got Snyder Cut. We've got Wonder Woman 1984. We've got The Suicide Squad with James Gunn at the helm. We've got news about Shazam. We've got news about Black Adam. And then we've got La Creme de la Creme, the Batman teaser trailer. Holy crap. Like, holy crap. Not to mention, like, three video game trailers or two video game trailers and then CW show trailers. I mean, this was legit. A Comic-Con for DC. Like, it's nuts.
It was crazy. I mean, again, it was what the fans wanted. It's what we've been waiting for a long time. We heard a lot of stuff about the Batman casting rumors and so on, and how's it going to work and how will this fit into that? And Wonder Woman, we had seen earlier trailers, Suicide Squad also, you know, James Gunn, how is he going to, is it going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy DC version thing? But we got all the answers we wanted.
Yes. So let's break them down. Let's start with Wonder Woman 1984. Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, I saw all the trailers. Except the video game ones.
Okay. I've got to say, I'm sort of satisfied with the Wonder Woman trailer.
Yeah, listen, it was a good trailer. I still feel, you know, it's going to be a fun, if you want, interesting movie. I just have a small issue with Gal Gadot, which is I don't find her funny. She's not. I can't see her doing comedy.
Yeah, like she's very dry in the way that she delivers her lines. That's for sure.
Yeah, Chris Pine was fun. I love that it's set in the 80s because I think everything in the 80s was larger than life in terms of fashion and
and
buildings and stuff. So that's going to be a lot of fun. They even, like, at the end of the trailer, you can see Chris Pine with the outfits.
Yeah.
And the parachute joke. So yeah, the 80s time was a fun period to poke at. I was intrigued by Christine Wigg because I've never seen her in such a role.
Yes. I was going to say, for me, the person that took the spotlight in that entire trailer was Kristen Wiig. I'm just super impressed with her, like, shattered, jealous, power hungry villain. Like, it's just super interesting to see her in a role like this.
Definitely. And I think this lady has a lot of potential, but has been taking on such similar roles in the past.
Stereotypical roles, yeah, exactly.
Typecast kind of roles. And I think it's interesting, but very ironically, like a few days ago, during Comic-Con, I was watching TV and Ridley Scott's The Martian was on, and she has a small part in it where she plays a serious character, and she can act.
Yeah, you know,
She's talented, and she's never maybe taken the opportunity or been given the chance to do that. And I can't wait to see her. I do have a small issue, which I've always had with DC, which is their CGI just is, I don't know, there's something off with it. I think Marvel have, in the majority of their films, not all of them, because they do have their faux pas, if you want. But yeah. I think there is a small issue with the DC kind of CGI in their movies. The cheetah, I'm not 100% convinced with in terms of graphics.
Okay, well, we also have to consider, because I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You also have to consider that this is still a trailer, and usually between trailers and release of movie, there's a lot of rendering that still takes place. I mean, if you notice, the cheetah scenes were in the dark, there was a lot of fog around her. So I think those were done on purpose for the purposes of the trailer. because I don't think it's like 100% fully rendered yet.
I mean, I'm talking based on previous movies, so I'm just hoping seeing this I'm hoping that, you know, they'll take care of that.
All right. Let's jump real quick to Shazam and Black Adam, because those are really quick to kind of, talk about. There was no Shazam trailer, but we do know that the Shazam sequel is called Fury of the Gods.
Yeah.
Which again, excites the living crap out of me because I love Shazam.
Yeah. And we do know that I think Sinbad is on board in a funny kind of role, because he did a movie called Shazam, if I'm not mistaken, which was very bad.
The genie one.
Yeah. And he has a small part in this, or a big, I don't know what kind of part, but he's in it.
Okay.
So that's going to be, it's fun. It shows that this movie doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a lighter movie, more fun.
We can call Shazam the more childlike wonder of DC, right?
I think we should call it the big of DC.
The big of DC, 100%. I like it. And then Black Adam got like an interesting animated teaser trailer, which kind of gives us the backstory, a little bit of the backstory or the mystery behind Black Adam. So I think this one might be a little darker than Shazam.
Yeah, probably it's going to darker. And, you know, he's facing these superheroes because he's an anti-hero. I'm curious to see how that's going to work and how that's going to build up to, because Shazam and Black Adam eventually interact and should have a movie together. I'm curious to see how those two are going to merge together. So they have my attention on that.
Yes. And let's give DC a high five for not giving us the movie where they merged together before the backstory.
Exactly.
You know, they learned. Next up, let's talk about the Suicide Squad. I saw the behind the scenes first look. James Gunn is such a baller, man. He's so dope.
Man, he's just having fun. He loves what he does and it shows. And he's just having fun with it. And he does it so well. And he's brought these characters to life in the funniest way possible and the most interesting way possible. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen, because I'm sure a lot of them are going to be killed off because it's called the Suicide Squad. So I think a lot of them are going to be, you know, blowing up or like get shot. But
yeah, I was just going to say, it looks like a very violent adaptation of the Suicide Squad. Like, I think if we thought there was violence or chaos in the first version of this film looks like it's way more hardcore. It's way more aggressive, but also with that James Gunn flair and that James Gunn comedy for sure. But I almost feel like this is him kind of letting loose from Guardians of the Galaxy, where I do believe he had a lot of limitations of what he could and could not do.
Yeah. I hope they get to play with the rating.
Yes, me too. I was just going to say that. Yeah.
I hope it gets an R rating. I doubt it. I don't know if it will, maybe not, but it would be very interesting to go full on, you know, like Deadpool-ish, very violent, very gory,
100%, 100%.
Full of like insults and cuss words.
Yeah.
I'm on board to see that.
Hey, Hod, did you hear the latest news?
No, man, what news?
Well, you see, recently, Script to Screen has become part of the Speedy Comics family.
Oh my God.
Right?
That's just fantastic.
It is fantastic. Guys, if you don't know what Speedy Comics is, it's actually this really great store at City Walk Dubai.
And you can also find some awesome Funkos and comic books signed by all sorts of amazing people. And why not stop by and have a cup of coffee? That'll be fun.
Indeed. There's also something called The Vault, which, well, it's in the vault, so we can't really talk about it.
No, but it's super duper cool.
It is super duper cool. So yes, Script to Screen is now powered by Speedy Comics.
And don't forget, you can follow Speedy Comics on Instagram on Speedy Comics ME, or you can check out their website on speedycomicsme.com.
Hey, screeners, this is Ross Marquand from The Walking Dead and Avengers. You're listening to Script to Screen.
All right, let's jump right in here to the final two before we jump into our recommendations, and that'll be it for this episode. We've got footage, and we got a panel, Snyder's Cut of the Justice League, I gotta say, if I thought that Zack Snyder had his own visual artistic style before, holy crap with this. Not only is he upping the ante with the mood and the tone and the style of the film, but he's also releasing it in 4 1-hour episodes, as well as a version where it's all together. But that's not the kicker. The kicker is that he is releasing it with a different aspect ratio. He's releasing it with a 4:3 aspect ratio. What the living hell, Zack Snyder? Like, a superhero movie in a 4:3 aspect ratio hasn't been done yet. Like, this is nuts.
Is it for sure going to be, or is it just a trailer, by the way?
No, I think this is the way he's releasing the film. I do not think this is a trailer thing.
Because I think if he's releasing the movie like that, I just feel there are certain visual limitations. I'd like to see, you know, like a spectacle on a grander scale, if you want.
Yeah.
Not that the trailer was bad. I mean, I really enjoyed the trailer. And it does look that he's, you know, pointing the middle finger and giving Joss Whedon Justice League a big fuck you.
yeah, it does.
Especially with the song choice for the trailer, Hallelujah.
Yep.
You know, like, Hallelujah, it's finally here. My only, if you want, it's not a concern, but my only, I don't know what to call it, like, issue or whatever, is that he just does have the advantage of releasing it on a platform that allows him to do that. He had, let's be realistic, had this been released in movie theaters, a 4-hour version, there's no way in hell that would have happened.
No, but then he would have released his director's cut just like he did with Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, but it wouldn't, I think, had there not been HBO Max, things would have played out very differently.
I'm with you.
So
yeah.
I think that this is an interesting marketing kind of thing to really bring people on board to HBO Max to like subscribe and watch. It's going to be like, to me, it's a mini series. It's a mini show, a 4-hour show, because we all saw what happened with a 3.5-hour movie of The Irishman. A lot of people found it, you know, to be very, very long.
Very long. Yeah.
So, I mean, a 4-hour movie is pretty long.
You know, that to me is whatever. I have seen The Lord of the Rings in one sitting. I've also seen the Star Wars films kind of in one sitting. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
but I do believe that the medium really helps him out this time.
Absolutely, the medium, 100%.
Gives him more flexibility, and the timing of everything is right. With, you know, I think the way things happen from the actual movie coming out to the disappointment of people, to, you know, people starting to talk about the Snyder Cut and petitions online, and then, you know, them releasing a platform and so on, and then him starting to work on it for free. So I like how the buildup has happened, how all this has led to that. But I think he's going to have more flexibility than any other director, because, again, the medium, he can do a 6-hour cut for all he cares, if he feels it necessary, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be released online. And the sad thing, there is a counter argument, and which is going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but the sad thing is we won't get to see it on a very big screen.
Yeah, true.
So even though it's 4-hour.
Yeah, but look, listen, if it does really well in HBO Max, there's nothing stopping HBO or Warner Brothers or Warner Max, which is what they're calling it now. There's nothing stopping them from doing a special movie theater release for like a limited time or whatever. I'm sure they'll do it. Like, I have no doubt that eventually down the line they'll do it.
I hope so.
I mean, I'm personally very excited. I loved the panel. I saw the panel this morning. The man is super humble. Very, very appreciative of the fans who started the Snyder Cut movement. It was very interesting to me. I like the fact that he said that we're going to see a lot more of Cyborg. We're going to see a lot more of the Flash. I'm just pumped about it. I you and I know my history with the Snyder films. When it comes to the DC universe, I hated them at one point, and then I fell in love with them at another, and I'm still on the loving relationship with these films. So I'm super excited about that. Finally, we jump to the moment a lot of us have been waiting for, which is the Batman trailer release. Holy mother of Gotham.
I'm just going to say something which Monica Geller says.
Uh-huh.
Seven.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
It has such a Seven vibe. It has such I watched the trailer over like 7-8 times.
It's so dark. And it's so grim. It's so raw. It's wow. It's vengeance.
Amazing. It's so grounded. It's so like realistic. I think I could not find something that bothered me with the trailer. Like legit.
Did you hear about the Gotham PD series that they're considering doing? Mood of the series, I'm all in.
Oh, I'm definitely all in. And guys, we're talking about around 25-30% of the movie has been shot. And this is what we got as a first trailer. So imagine what happens next.
Yeah, imagine the full trailer at some point. I love the creepiness of it. I love that they turned the Riddler into like a creepy villain, because you do know that this is the Riddler's kind of MO, right? The letters, the mind games, the whatever. You got a sneak peek of Colin Farrell as the Penguin. Holy crap. What's her face as Catwoman?
Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman. Loved it. And Pattinson, man.
And you got to hear Andy Serkis as Alfred.
Yes, very true. We only got to hear him.
but that's like, he gives, I don't know, he gives this like interesting vibe to Alfred. This dark, if someone can fit into this dark kind of universe with a dark Alfred, I think it's Andy Serkis. And he's worked with Matt Reeves before on
Planet of the Apes. Yeah.
Planet of the Apes, exactly.
100%.
No, I just love, there's that one scene where Robert Pattinson beats the shit out of this, you know, like thug.
Yes.
And I just love the violence of it, the aggressivity of it. It's like, it's really cool. And I was just curious actually to see maybe more of Bruce Wayne as Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
You know, like but then again, it does take place during the second year of Batman's existence. That's what they're saying, at least.
Yeah, it's year two. There's a lot of year two vibe in this.
Exactly. So maybe year two vibe of also Bruce Wayne. But again, take my money, Matt Reeves. I mean, do whatever you want with this franchise.
100%.
Trilogy, 7 movies, 12 movies. I don't care. You know, Grandpa Batman with Robert Pattinson. I just loved everything about it. It's like a detective noir thriller. It's a different take on Batman, and I love how you know he's dealt with all these characters so far. And again, we're talking about a 2-minute trailer.
Yeah, 100%. Look, the stripped down raw film noir thing that you said was one of the things that really really grabbed my attention in the beginning. All I pray for is that Warner Brothers allows Matt Reeves to be at the helm of these three films. Do not make him, do not replace him. Do not take him out and bring someone else in. Let this man complete a vision, because trust me on this, if the Planet of the Apes films are any clue, the man knows what the hell he's doing.
Definitely.
And we're in for a very interesting new trilogy with the Batman, I think. I mean, it's even more grounded than Nolan's Batman, which is saying something, you know what I mean? Like there's nothing fancy about it. It's just grim and dark and kind of what the Batman is supposed to be. Like, he's the most angsty superhero that I know. So yeah, I'm on board. I'm super excited about it. I've seen the trailer like 3 times. I'm in love with it. I can't wait. I really, really cannot wait.
Like, I'm even in love with at the beginning of the trailer when the Riddler opens duct tape and you hear the sound of the duct tape.
Yes, that's so Watchmen, dude.
It's just that grabbed my attention. Like, pop, I was on board. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
super
pumped. And the response. And the response to this.
Oh, it's super, been so
super
good.
Positive.
Yeah.
Like, you do have some, I'm not going to say mixed, but you might have like a few negative responses to the Snyder Cut and Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad. But for Batman, the majority is really positive.
Yeah, I mean, you had some idiots really doing the whole, like, you know, what is it? Like, the eyeliner jokes and whatever, and the whole, like, eye shade and whatnot. Like, there were some really, like, mocking.
But compared to the other, like, trailers, this had less.
Yes,
kind
100%,
of, if you want,
100%.
Less hate.
Yeah.
And more love and more people expressing their love and wow, this is dope and I can't wait to see this. And
do you think it's going to do you think it's going to be a high rating? I really hope it is.
I don't think they'll go for an R-rated movie, but I do think they'll go for something like PG-13-ish or plus a bit of above that. But I mean, just like, I don't know. I really don't know.
I guess also the threshold of violence with PG-13 has really shifted. But
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm pumped for it. I'm pumped.
They're really going to flirt with that line of like, take it as far as they can go with the PG-13, I think.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's jump into our recommendations before we sayonara for the day. What are you recommending for this episode, my dear, dear friend?
Well, I'm not going to recommend a DC movie, but I am going to recommend a Snyder movie.
All right.
I'm going to recommend Watchmen.
Nice.
Because Watchmen has its fans. It also has its haters. But to me, it's one of Snyder's best superhero, if you want, not superhero universe movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so dark and it's very bloody and it's very violent and it's made in such a typical Snyder way. And I mean, I love the adaptation of Watchmen. And if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's a bit long. There are some slow parts, but you know, each character has done justice. The performances are out of this world. The effects are really good. And it, you know, shows you this kind of, this parallel future that might have happened after the Cold War with these retired superheroes. And it's not a funny movie. It's very dark and it's very interesting. So check out Watchmen.
And on your flip side, I'm going to recommend a very positive movie. And that movie is going to be Shazam. Because I think in these times that we're living in, we all need a little bit of hope and a little bit of dreaming. And the possibility that, you know, even the youngest person can change the course of the future. So I will recommend Shazam, especially now that we know that the sequel is on the way. Super,
nice.
Super, super excited about that. Guys, I just wanted to let you know real quick before we start our conclusion for today's episode. I want to let you know if you visit Had.Solo's Instagram account, for all you screeners out there, Lebanese, international, whatnot, Had Solo's Had Solo's baby and our home 16mm was affected by the blast. There's an amazing initiative that, you know, one of Had's friends started, but we've all jumped on board. It's a GoFundMe page. I do think that everybody who's a movie fan, everybody who knows of a place that is your sanctuary, that is your home, that is where you meet your friends on a daily or a weekly basis. If you know of a place like this, then you know what 16mm means to us. So if any of you out there want to help out, even a dollar will help. Go to Han Solo's Instagram account, get to the GoFundMe page, and help a brother out.
I really appreciate that, man. You know, that we didn't like plan on talking about this. And
no, we did
thank
not.
You for the shout out. I just want to like add to that. If you guys feel that, you know, you don't want to help out my place, please do help out Lebanon, though, because
yes,
there are a lot of NGOs that need your help, from the Red Cross to Live Love Beirut to Himaya. Like, there's a big list of NGOs. There are a lot of people affected. There are over 300,000 people that are homeless right now. So you can, you know, donate. Just like donate, spread the word, keep talking about Lebanon. We don't get too political on this show, but this really hit, you know, this hit
yes.
home.
Yes, it
this
did.
This really hit home.
Yes, it did.
And so keep talking about Lebanon, keep sharing the news, and donate to any NGO to help, really.
Amen to that. On that note, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on my end at alan.mahana for my personal account, but you can also follow the Script 2 Screen official Instagram, which is Script 2 Screen official. You can also follow the Solo to My Chewbacca on...
I'm on had.solo.
You can also follow our amazing sponsors. Had, you want to jump in?
Yeah, Speedy Comics on Instagram.
Speedy Comics
is
ME.
Is there an ME?
Yeah,
ME.
There's an ME.
I always forget the ME here. Yeah.
You always
Speedy
forget
Comics,
the ME.
ME on Instagram. And you can check out their website, which I'm going to fuck up. So I'm going to let you.
You can check out their website. You can check out their website at www.speedycomicsme.com.
That's it. That's what I was going to say.
Screeners, thank you for joining us as usual. Don't forget, you can always message us, DM us, or send us a voice message on Anchor, which is our home. Script to Screen's main home. But you can also listen to us on all other podcast platforms. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you, screeners. Keep watching movies. Keep hope alive. Had, my brother, I love you.
Love you, love you. And wear a mask, everyone. Be a superhero and wear a mask when you go outside.
Yes, yes. Because heroes no longer wear capes. They wear masks.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.